reason I'm leaving, rejoicing away. I can hardly wait for that eternal glory.
You have tuned in to Let the Bible Speak, a live call-in question and answer program.
We want to thank you for joining us today to Let the Bible Speak.
The Bible,
we are glad that you have taken
many.
Out time
not
this afternoon to be able to be with us. It is our joy to be able to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your mind. This is a live broadcast, and we do want you to know that you can join us right now by dialing 308-9564. And we will go to the Bible for the answers. We are glad to be able to be of service to you, and we hope and pray that the things that we say will not be interfering with God's will, but rather just allowing each of us to be able to find what God says in His Word. Now, the number to call right now for your questions is 308-9564. The lines are now available, so don't miss out on this opportunity to go to the Bible for the answers to the questions on your mind. 308-9564. There's two lines available, so go ahead and call right now. Many times the lines fill up toward the end of the broadcast. Now, we also have another way that you can communicate with us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283. That is the text line. And so if you have a cell phone and you would like to communicate via text, then go ahead and use that means to be able to communicate with us. Again, the number is 725-9283 for text, or you can call us with your voice at 308-9564. Now, if you have a question, there's two ways to get it to us through the voice line. You can either go live over the air, in which, if that is the case, that you would like to go live and you actually speak on the radio, we want to know your name. And we ask you to be ready to turn your radio down immediately upon our conversation together. That way there will not be a confusing echo that would cause a lack of communication that would be clear. So we don't want that. And so we want you to be ready to turn the radio down immediately when we start communicating back and forth. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. The lines are now available, so go ahead and call. And we'll be glad to take your question, and we will go to the Bible as we let the Bible speak. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, which is the voice line, or if you'd rather text us at 725-9283. Now, the reason for this broadcast is because we're trying to get people back to the Bible for the answers rather than listening to all of the man-made human doctrine.
308-9564, that's the number to call right now. The lines are available, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Also, we do have a website where you can download previously recorded broadcasts. So go ahead to www.biblealone.com, www.biblealone.com. On that website, you'll find other information that may be helpful to you as you continue your studies as a student of the Scriptures. We encourage you so much to make sure that as we go through the Scriptures today, and any time you're listening to anybody concerning spiritual matters, we encourage you to go to God's Word and see what it says for yourself. The reason behind that is Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we encourage you so much to place your faith only in one location, and that is in God. And the way you do that is by hearing His Word. You go, you see it for yourself, and do not trust myself, do not trust Ricky, do not trust Chuck or anyone else that you hear on this broadcast. Do not trust the preacher. Do not trust your mom, your dad. You only trust what you can see in God's Word. You read it for yourself, and then you obey it. To join us right now with your question, where we will go to God's Word for the answer, 308-9564. 308-9564, that's the number to call right now. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7, the Bible says, and this is Jesus speaking, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. Now you have an opportunity to ask. Now you have an opportunity to seek. Now you have an opportunity to knock. And by way of your questions, go ahead and call right now with your question and let us allow God's Word to speak. We'll try to stay out of the way as much as we can and just let God's Word speak. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564.
Now, we have another way for you to communicate with us through if you know of relatives or people that are out of town or out of the state or even in another country. They also can tune in right now via the Internet. They can go to our website at www.BibleAlone.com, and they can click on the live stream button at the bottom of the page, www.BibleAlone.com, and click on the live stream, and they can join us anywhere in the world. Now, if you have a relative or someone that you want to be able to join in this way, be sure to let them know these phone numbers are with the area code 843. So instead of just dialing seven digits, they would need to go ahead and dial ten digits to be able to get through to us. And we were more than happy to have them join us. So the number for the voice line is area code 843-308-9564. And we have the lines available, so now go ahead and call in your question or at least let your friends and relatives in other places know about this as well. Or you can also join us through the Internet, through that website as well, and that way they can tune in. Our text line is 725-9283. That line is ready, and the voice line is 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-WJNI, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We live in a day and a time where we're dealing with a lot of difficulties. It may be that you're dealing with financial troubles. It could be that you're uncertain about where the world is headed. Oftentimes, the things that are happening politically have an impact on us. It could be that you're dealing with some challenges with your children. It's the interesting thing about children is sometimes when they reach a certain age, they just kind of do what they want and not necessarily what you've taught them to do. And so there's a lot of challenges going on in the world around about us, financial challenges, job challenges. It may be that you're dealing with maybe even the potential chance of losing your home because of the economy. So all kinds of things, car challenges. Sometimes, you go outside, you go to crank your car, it won't crank. And now you have an unexpected situation. And so there's a lot of situations, a lot of challenges like that that we find ourselves dealing with, and sometimes we find ourselves struggling to believe. And yet and still, the Bible still says that God demands that we would have faith, that we would still depend and we would still trust in Him. The Hebrew writer says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And so I must believe in God that He exists, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You see, I can trust that if I'm seeking after God, and that idea of seeking after Him is I go to His Word, I do what His Word says, I try to live by His Word. When I don't know whether I should do a thing, I get on my knees and I pray to Him. I seek His counsel from His Word. And so this idea of seeking is a very active word. And so here's this person that's seeking Him, and then God says He's going to reward those that diligently seek Him. And so I can know with absolute certainty that when I'm finding myself dealing with struggles, dealing with hardships, I can turn to God, and God will provide the answer. God will provide the solution to the situation. But ladies and gentlemen, it takes faith. And so we need not worry about all the things that's happening around about us. We need not worry about our financial challenges. We need not worry about what's happening in the political arena. We need to focus our attention on one. That would be God. We need to continue to have faith in Him, knowing that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So join us right now with your question. Go ahead and call 308-9564. Again, that number, 308-9564. If you prefer to send in your text question, 725-9283.
Or our prosperity. And He gives us instructions in Ephesians chapter 4, that we are to work with our hands that which is good that we may have to give to those that are in need. Jesus, in his parables, teach us that there are gifts that the people can give one another, or even a discovery, as in the pearl of great price, or even investment, where he told the one talent man, you should have put the money to the bankers or to the bank or to investment, that at the end that he would have had his increase with usury. And then also the Bible speaks of inheritance between relatives and actually gives regulations in the Old Testament how the firstborn was to get a double portion. But nowhere in the Bible does it tell us that we should pool our money together to where that there is going to be one winner and the rest losers over a game or a situation of chance. There is nothing in the Bible that says that. Matter of fact, there's warnings that would let us know the heart that would devise something like this is actually going against what God would have. Going back to the Ephesians 4 passage, he says that we should work with our hands that which is good, that we may have to give to those that are in need. Instead of working for ourselves to get more and more and more, give me more and more and more, which is the Bible's way also of dealing with covetousness in Colossians chapter 2, which he describes as idolatry. So if we have that kind of spirit or that kind of appetite that I want more, 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 an insatiable desire to he that dies with the most toys wins, that is idolatry and condemned by the Lord. But giving or working with our hands that which is good that we may have to give, well, now that is well-pleasing to God. The attitude of going the extra mile, turning the other cheek. You see how contrary that is? And so the appetite that would cause someone to gamble or participate in the lottery to get rich quick or to get rich without having to work, that if you're taking advantage of others, actually goes against the concept is wrong and forbidden by God. Even though the words are not specifically mentioned in the Bible, the concept is written all the way through. We're supposed to be servants of others rather than taking advantage of others, even though they may consent through a process of lottery that you can take advantage of me with only one winner in the process. And that God just never tells us that we're supposed to have that kind of prosperity. Thank you for your question. We sure do appreciate it, and hopefully that has been beneficial to you. The numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And you can call in your question right now, and we will let the Bible speak. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, the text line, if you'd rather text us through your cell phone, is 725-9283.
We have a text question that came in. And the text question is, does God approve mixed marriages? Does God approve mixed marriages? What we find in the Old Testament, there was seem to be a principle where the Jews could not intermarry with the nations round about them. And that was given under the law of Moses. When we get to the New Testament, and the reason why we always bring out the difference between the Old Testament and New Testament, because today we live under the New Testament of Christ, the New Covenant. That's the covenant that was given to the church. We are in the church dispensation. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, that Jesus is the head of the body, the church. And so we listen to the covenant that Jesus gave to the church. In the New Testament covenant, there is nothing that would prohibit marrying someone of a different race. And I think that's what's meant when someone says mixed marriages. And what we do find is that God, in this New Testament or this church dispensation, he accepts all. The Bible says in the book of Galatians chapter 3, in Galatians the third chapter, in verse 27 or verse 26, it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, you have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." And so there is nothing physically that would separate us in Christ Jesus. And likewise, there is no scripture in the New Testament that would prohibit using physical characteristics to prevent a person from marrying one another. It's time for us to take our first break, but even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to keep calling in your questions. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can send us a text question via this text number, 725-9283. 725-9283. We'll be right back.
It's time now.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak. If today's subject is of particular interest to you, you can also call 553-5157. And the operator standing by is ready to help and will send you the material as soon as possible. If you would like to enroll in a Bible correspondence course where you can study God's Word from the privacy of your home, again, call 553-5157 to enroll in the course free of charge. Everything we offer during this program is completely free. Please do not feel a need to send us money. We could not help but notice that Jesus nor his disciples ever asked for money, nor do we seek any financial help. It's our privilege to give you the treasure contained in God's Word at no charge. That number again for the free Bible material, 553-5157. The operator will be standing by during and shortly after the broadcast today, and then the number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, a 24/7 Bible study you can call every day. The message is changed daily, and you can even call while on the run for a quick thought about God and heaven. Again, this is absolutely free. The number, 553-5157. Write it down and call us every day. 843-553-5157. To participate in today's live Bible discussion, now call 843-308-9564 to ask your Bible question. And now, let's return to Let the Bible Speak.
Again, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call the operator standing by so you can sign up for the correspondence course that we can send to you in the mail. A course designed to aid you in your studies of the Scripture. Go ahead and call right now, 553-5157. 553-5157. Let the operator know that you are interested in signing up for the Bible correspondence course, and we will send that to you in the mail. It's designed to aid you. It's a help. Now, and we say this from time to time, and I feel it's necessary to keep repeating it, that this correspondence course in no way should replace your reading and studying of the Scriptures. What it is a tool to help you. It's going to send you back to the Scripture every time. And so you'll read a question, there'll be a passage of Scripture that you can go back and you can look at the Scripture and you can read for yourself. And then just do what the Bible says. You know, you can answer those questions using the Scripture. At the same time, you should be growing along the way. You should be changing and allowing God's Word to remake you, to mold you, to shape you in the image of His Son. And so we encourage you, we highly encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course if you're looking for aid or help in your studies of the Scriptures. And you're looking to see things maybe you haven't seen before and that's not commonly taught. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. Again, that number is 553-5157. 553-5157. To join us right now, calling your questions here at the station, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564.
We had a question earlier about gambling and lottery, and so I guess I wasn't clear enough to answer their question. They called back and said, or someone else called back and said, so is gambling a sin or not? Well, Romans chapter 14, verse 23 lets us know that for whatever is not of faith is sin. The reason I gave you what the Bible said, and that is God tells us how we're supposed to have our increase, which is through working with our hands, that we can have increase through gifts, through inheritance, through discovery, or through investment. And so God lets us know that that's the way to get our increase. So whatever else is not from God, that would be going beyond God's word, which transgression means going beyond. And whatever is not of faith is sin, Romans 14 and verse 23. So hopefully you're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. I hate to just outright say it. Yes, it is a sin. But if we're taking advantage of others, or if I have got covetousness in my heart, then that's even forbidden specifically that is wrong. The Lord shows us how to do it. And everything God says in His Word
is there for our good. That's good for us. And so it is not good for us to go beyond God's word. And so we've got to understand, he shows us, he instructs us on how to behave and how to have prosperity in this life. And anything beyond what he says is sin, Romans 14, verse 23. So we must go to his word for that. So thanks, Edwin. We sure do appreciate your question very much. Again, that's Romans 14, verse 23. The other verses was Ephesians chapter 4. And then Matthew 13, 46, Matthew 25 and verse 15, and there are others. And so that shows us, but one thing that is not included in God's word is that we are going to gamble. There's just nothing in there, nor is the concept in there. And so to answer your question, based upon those verses, yes, we'd have to go beyond God's word in order to sanction something like that. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your mind. You can text us at 725-9283.
We have another question coming in. The question says, does forsaking assembly means you have to go to both services? As I understand it, there are many groups that assemble twice, sometimes in the morning. They'll have a worship service early morning, and then one mid-morning, and then some have a assembly in the evening even. So does that fall into the, if I go to one, don't go to the other one, would that fall into the category of forsaking the assembly? Well, if we look at Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, and that's where that language comes from, so it makes sense that we go to this text. In Hebrews the 10th chapter, in verse 25, the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. There's a lot of debate about this passage. One, for example, in verse 25, where it says not forsaking, the word forsaking that's used here really literally means the idea of leaving and not coming back. But is that really the idea that's coming out in this text? That's one thing you need to chew on. So the Greek word here carries with the idea of abandonment. It's not just the idea of forsaking. In the sense of I miss a time and then I came back. That's one thing to chew on. The second thing to chew on is there's some question when it says more so as you see the day approaching. Is it talking about the day being the first day of the week, or is it talking about the day, that is to say the day of judgment? And so there's a lot of questions about this text as to what it's really saying. But now going back to your question to give clarity, I think to approach whether or not I should assemble with the saints, if I'm assembling with the church that Jesus Christ built, I think approaching that from the perspective of verse 25 would be altogether wrong. But in fact, what you should do is look back up to verse 24. And I think therein lies the answer of what should be motivating me and driving me towards whether or not I'm going to assemble every time the doors are open. And verse 24, the Bible says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So here it says the way what I should be doing is I should be considering my brothers and sisters and considering how so that I can stir them up to love and good works. Well, how do I do that? He says here in verse 25, by not forsaking the assembling, not the assembly, the assembling. There are many times that the church might assemble and it may not be that first day of the week assembly. But here it says the assembling. So you go back and take a look at that word. And what you may find is that it's talking about the assembling and not the idea of just one assembly. My job is to stir my brothers and sisters up to love and good works. And the way I do that is by assembling with them. You know, not assembling, not forsaking. It says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some. There were some that had a habit. had a habit of not assembling. And so we don't want to fall into that category. And so what we don't want to do with something like this, when there is some questions around verse 25, is trying to say, well, if I don't go, is it sin? If I do, you know, so the idea, I didn't go, so that's sin. No, the idea should be, am I doing what's necessary to stir my brothers and sisters up to love and good work? Am I considering them? And that should be my motivation for going. I should have the right motivation. Sometimes we just don't have the right motivation. If we ever get into the mode of checkbox, this is right, this is wrong, I do this. God tells me to do this, this, this. Check, 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 check. I've met the terms of the agreement. Then that's the wrong attitude. We have to have a heart that says, I do what I do because I love the Lord. And the Lord says, if I love him, then I'm going to also love my brethren too. I hope that's been helpful to you. I didn't mean to go off the path, but I think you have to look at this text in the broadest sense and then also bring in verse 22 through about 20, all the way down to verse 31 and read that text in its entirety. And I think it gives a different picture of what's actually written there. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a caller calling in this question. They want to know, church attire, is sleeveless attire okay? Well, again, I don't know. I don't guess gender fits into this at all. Let me just read to you what God says about how we should dress. And this would be anytime, any place. The Lord would tell us that when we are in public at all, it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, in like manner that the women, and here it specifically mentions women, but certainly applies to both genders, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. The word modest means the idea of sound, that which would be proper. With propriety, that would be common sense. It's the idea, the old King James is the word with shamefacedness, the ability to be ashamed, and moderation, to where it's not going to overdo it. And then he illustrates it, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness, with good works. So our motivation in our dress should be godliness. When people look at me and what I'm wearing or how I have adorned myself, whether male or female, does the word godliness show up? Is that what's first thing that comes to their mind? Well, they sure do look godly. Now, in different cultures and different ages and different circumstances, that will look different in those different circumstances. Whether we're in a formal, a semi-formal, or a casual mode, still, godliness is what people are to be struck with. As I had teenagers at home a number of years ago, I was very always having to deal with this. And it was just a matter, they said one time, you can't judge a book by its cover. And my answer to that was, yes, but based upon the cover, people decide whether they're going to read the book. And if they don't like the cover, they're not going to look any deeper. They're not even going to pick it up. So will people choose to read us based upon our adornment? What if we are showing some very big question marks, and what if we're showing some kind of behavior to where it is not godly? Well, they are not going to look any deeper. They're just going to go ahead and pigeonhole us as a worldly, ungodly person. What we need to do is to adorn ourselves in such a way to where that godliness is what comes screaming through. Thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it very much. It's time for us to take our next break. We do want you to know, even while we are at break, you can call in your question. The numbers are 308-9564 is the voice line. Or if you have a text, if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know we are honored to be able to be in your presence. We hope and pray that the Word of God is making an effect in your life. The numbers, if you'd like to call us right now, are 308-9564 is the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283. It is your choice. You set the stage. You set the theme. We'll go to the Bible for the answer. God is the one that's going to have the final word in eternity, and may He have the final word on this program as well. So thus, we'll go to the Bible for those answers.
308-9564. We have one line available there, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 948. We sure appreciate you listening to the broadcast today. And for those of you who listen regularly, we do appreciate you tuning in. We're prayerful always that the things that we share with you from God's Word is a help to you. That's the goal. May God's Word be a help to you, and may He receive the glory. The question, the text question says, is getting a divorce okay in the eyesight of God? Is getting a divorce okay in the eyesight of God? Well, that's a very interesting question, because the way it reads, I'm going to give you one answer, and then I'm going to turn around and seemingly give you a different answer. Is it okay is really what it's asking for in the eyesight of God, okay with God? Well, the real answer to that is probably no. If you look at Malachi chapter 2, there is a truism that's given in this text. And so while it's Old Testament, this is just telling us about how God feels about a thing. In verse 16, the Bible says, "For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce." So at least that gives us an idea of God's view on it. And God hasn't changed how he feels about that. It says in verse 16, "For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." And so the idea you shouldn't deal treacherously with the wife of your youth or your spouse. And so it's clearly an Old Testament principle, but in this principle, what we do find is how God feels about a thing. And God is still the same. God is the same. And the way he feels about it is still the same. But now, if we get to the New Testament in Matthew chapter 19, we see a provision being made for a person to be able to get divorced. And it doesn't mean that God all of a sudden no longer hates it. All it means is that God is making a provision for his people. And so because God loves us. And so God, through Jesus here, makes a provision for those who would get divorced. And he only makes one provision in Matthew chapter 19. Those of you who listen to broadcasts all the time, I know you know what that provision is. It comes out in verse 9. It says, and this is Jesus says, "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." The only provision whereby God allows a person to put away their spouse, that is to say, divorce them, is if their spouse has committed sexual immorality. That's the only time. And so God allows it. He makes a provision for it. But going back to the question, is he okay with it? I don't think God is ever okay with it. God intended for man and woman to be together for life. One man, one woman, for life. If you're joining us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. The choice of how to communicate with us is up to you. The questions are from you. The answers are going to come from God. God's Word, we're going to let the Bible speak. So let's make certain that we are ready. Hopefully you're writing these verses of Scripture down. You're going and studying these for yourself, because if you take our word for what the Bible says, then your faith is put in us. Please do not put your faith in us. Let me repeat that. Do not trust us. Only go to the Word of God yourself. See what it says. Because when all is said and done, that's what matters. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If you take our word for what it says, you're putting your faith in us. So don't just be entertained by this program. Be built up. Be edified by this program as you go to the Word and let God build you up. So I have paper and pencil ready to write these answers down as we go to the Bible and let the Bible speak. We have Edwin calling in this question. Ed, thank you so much for your question. We sure do appreciate it. And thank you for listening. His question is, are we supposed to pay tithes and offerings? Well, Edwin, tithes was a command that God gave in the Old Testament for the Jews to take care of the tribe of Levi. Of the 12 tribes, all of the tribes got territory where they could grow crops and have cattle and herds and flocks. But the Levites were not. They were just given cities to live in. They were supposed to be spiritual servants. Well, how are they going to live? Well, the way that they lived was on the tithes of the rest of the 11 tribes. And so they would send their money or give their money to the temple, and that tithe was to go to the maintaining and furnishing the needs of the Levites. Well, first of all, Ed, we don't have Jews like that today. We do not have Levites, and we're not even supposed to live under that law. Jesus came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Like a scaffolding around the building, when the building is completed, the scaffolding is taken away. The Old Testament was a scaffolding to bring us to Christ. Galatians chapters 3, chapters 4, chapter 5, all talk about this. Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, Colossians chapter 2, talk about the law was nailed to the cross in Colossians. That if in chapter 5 of Galatians, if we justify ourselves by that law, we're fallen from grace. So we see now we're supposed to listen to Christ. And thus, if we listen to him, what does his law say? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Concerning the collection of the saints, he said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay something aside, as he has been prospered, that there be no gatherings when I come. Later on in 2 Corinthians, he augments that by saying that they're to give bountifully, and that they're to give cheerfully, for God loves a cheerful giver. But that's it. There is nothing else as far as the general instructions on how to give. And so there's nothing about tithes in the New Testament church as a practice. And so, Ed, I hope that's been helpful to you. That's, again, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4, that we notice that we're not supposed to be going by or justifying ourselves by the law. And then also 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 8. So hopefully that's been helpful to you. Thanks, and we sure do appreciate your question very, very much. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, God is the one going to give the answer as we go through the Bible for all the answers. You come up with the questions, we'll go to the Bible for the answers, because after all, who's going to have the final word? Yeah, it will be God. So we better listen to him here and now. The number to call us is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
We have another caller calling in today. A wife wants to be reconciled with her husband. They are separated but not divorced. Please give scriptures to help with this situation. I hear you would like scriptures to help with the situation. I take that to mean that you want scriptures that perhaps you can give to this husband who does not want to reconcile, or maybe scriptures that would say that you really should be about reconciling or not reconciling. And so you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the 1 Corinthians 7th chapter in verse 10. Here's what the Lord says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, Paul says, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. A wife is not to depart from her husband. But even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And a husband is not to divorce his wife. And so here you have God speaking, and Paul is clear in verse 10 that this is what the Lord commands. God wants the husband and the wife to be together. It goes back to an earlier question where I cited Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16, which says, Lord God, he hates divorce. So he hates divorce. And in this passage here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he wants couples to reconcile. He don't want them to depart one another. And so if I'm trying to do what God wants, so here's a scripture in my mind. The scripture is that you would share with a person who don't want to reconcile. You let them know that if I'm doing what God wants, I'm really doing all I can to reconcile with my spouse, because that's what God wants. And so maybe this husband don't want to reconcile. Then I would also share with him Ephesians chapter 5, which talks a lot about the husband and wife relationship. And God says something about the husband and wife relationship when they get married. And in verse 20 and 28, the Bible says, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, just as the Lord does the church. And so there's a reason why I should be trying to repair a relationship with my spouse, especially you husbands, because God says that you should be loving your wife as your own body. And that's really the picture. That's what happened when you got married. Now, verse 31, the Bible says, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. You are no longer two separate entities. You are one flesh. Husbands out there, tell me, you ever took a hammer and beat your hand with a hammer? Maybe on accident. But that would not be a regular practice. Why not? Well, you wouldn't try to hurt your own body, would you? The Bible talks about the wife as being part of the husband, part of his own body. You wouldn't try to hurt your own body, would you? And so if you're trying to the caller calling this in, I'm prayerful that you will be able to reconcile with your spouse, or if this is about somebody else, that you will be able to reconcile. And I think passages like these can be an aid. That's Ephesians chapter 5. And I would read verses 25 through 33, and then also 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11, and then Malachi chapter 2, and verse 16. Calling your question right now, go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number, 308-9564.
We have Ben calling in. Ben is a longtime listener. He's been listening for years. Ben, thank you so much for your question. His question usually focuses on a verse of Scripture, and today's is no exception to that. He wants to know, based upon John chapter 1 and verse 5, it says, explain what it means that darkness did not comprehend. Well, let's read the verse. I'll pick up with verse 3. It says, all things were made, talking about Christ and the Word, all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so the idea of the darkness did not comprehend it, evil just does not understand righteousness. And if someone is focused on doing something that is wrong, they will not be able to understand the truth. While we're in John, there's John 7 and verse 17, where Jesus says, if anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. So the heart that is willing to do the will of the Father determines whether they are able to understand or comprehend where it is coming from. Also, we'll direct you to Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 14. It says, again, Jesus is talking, and he says, in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing, you will hear and not understand. Seeing, you will see and not perceive. The heart of the people has grown dull, their ears, part of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Assuredly, I say unto you, there are many prophets and righteous men desire to see the same things that you see, and did not see it, and hear the things that you hear, and did not hear it. And then he goes on to tell a parable to explain that. And so that's Matthew chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, and also John 7, 17. It's time for us to take a break. We do want you to know while we are at break that we are ready to receive your questions. Go ahead and call in right now at 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, and we will let the Bible speak. And you can also text us at 725-9283, and please know that the information we're about to give you is about a correspondence course that is free. Now, what's unique about this is you will learn things if you go through this course now, if you not only just get it in the mail, but study it, and you go to the Bible for the answers, you will learn things you've never seen before. Yes, that are not taught in the pulpits across the land. Yes, there are some things in the Bible that have been hidden by the God of this world that may keep you in darkness. So what does that mean you should do? Especially, Ben, that it's free. Shouldn't you call and get this information? Again, you'll never be asked for money. This is absolutely free. Here's the details on that. If you've already got the course, then go ahead and call in your question right now at 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are serious about the Bible correspondence course being able to reveal some things in God's Word that you may have never heard before. There are literally thousands of people that have had their eyes opened here in the Charleston area, and it doesn't have to be limited to here. If you're listening into some other part of the world, then go ahead and call
the operator standing by at 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send it to you anywhere you're at in the world. Again, that's area code 843 for those of you that may be listening in another part of the world. Again, that's 843-553-5157. It'll be in tomorrow's mail. We're glad to send it to you, and it will be a comprehensive study that you will learn things that that are pretty much being ignored or some in some cases just outright being deceived about some of the things that are in God's Word. And so please, it goes straight to the Bible for the answers, so make certain that you check those things out so you can hear them, see them, and follow them yourself. It is absolutely free. The number again is 553-5157, and we'll be glad to send this in the mail to you absolutely free. Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call in your question at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. The manner of communication is up to you. The question is up to you. The answers are going to be from God, going to be from His Word and His Word alone. And thus, we're going to let the Bible speak. Nick, you've got a question?
Yes, we have a text question that came in. The last three digits is 448. How do you know you are an apostle? How do you know you are an apostle? Well, that's a very good question, because sometimes we get questions there about apostles. The Bible seems to show that there were qualifications that a person had to meet in order to be an apostle. So let's just look at some of them, and that may be a help to you. In Acts chapter 1, that after Judas would have killed himself, it was prophesied that he was going to have to be replaced, so someone was going to have to take his place. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 21, there would be some criteria given for the one that would replace Judas. The Bible says, therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to the day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And so when they went to replace one of the apostles, it was necessary that the apostle would be a witness, and specifically an eyewitness of the resurrected Christ. And so they selected someone who had been there from the time that Jesus had been baptized by John, and thus actually also saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, why was this so critical? Because that's what Jesus told the apostles they were going to be. If you just turn back to chapter 1 and verse 8, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you'll see, but Jesus tells them, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And so that was going to be their jobs, so that they were going to have to be eyewitnesses. Note also that this is gender specific. So being an apostle required a person to be a man. If we go back to verse 21, the Bible says, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. If you make a study of this text, incidentally, what you'll find is that there was not just men gathered together in this particular setting. But when they went to select an apostle, they were very specific that it was going to be a male. So that's another characteristic. And then if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12, Paul talks about signs that were worked. He says, truly the signs of an apostle was wrought or worked among you. And so there were signs that only apostles could do. For example, raising the dead, Acts chapter 20, verses 9 and 10, we see Paul doing that. But also passing on the ability to transfer the Holy Spirit. And this will be probably the last characteristic I give, but there are a few others. And that just lets us know that this role of apostle is very specific, and it really was relegated to a specific time. And these folks had to meet a very specific criteria. But one of the things that the apostles were going to be able to do is pass on the laying on of the apostles' hand, or pass on the Holy Spirit through the laying on of hands. In Acts the 8th chapter, we see that Simon, a man who was a sorcerer, now he would obey the gospel. In verse 13, the Bible says, then Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed with seeing the miracles and signs that were done. Now, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had not fallen upon them. Then they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they, that is to say John and Peter, the apostles, laid hands on them, and that they may receive the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. And so that was another gift that was isolated to the apostles. They were the only ones that could transfer this power through the laying on of their hands. And so, again, this was used in a very specific time. And one of those core characteristics is a person actually have to be an eyewitness of Jesus, be able to have seen him from the time of his baptism to the time that he was resurrected. And so these are all captured within the pages of the Scripture. I hope that's been helpful to you. To join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
Or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, you can communicate with us, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. We have a call calling in response to a previous question. They say, Malachi 3 about will a man rob God? That's a verse. If you are saying we're not supposed to tithe, then explain this passage. Well, thank you. Thank you. I hope I read that in the way that you were expressing it. And Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 is the answer. And also, I hope you're writing it down, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 as well, and we'll look at those. But let me ask you just a quick question, and that is Malachi. Is that part of the Old Testament or part of the New Testament? Okay, right. Yeah, it's part of the Old Testament. Matter of fact, it's the last book of the Old Testament. Have you ever noticed that? All right, so if it's part of the Old Testament, then whose law was that for? Was that for the Old Testament people or the New Testament people? Well, it was written 400 years before Christ, so it obviously was not part of Christ's law. So, if it's part of that old law, Galatians 5 and verse 4 says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, or the New King James says, you have become estranged from Christ. Who? Who has been divorced or estranged or disconnected from Christ? You who justify yourselves by law, you are fallen from grace. Oh, so that's part of that old law. Yes. And someone might say, well, that was even enacted even before the time of Moses. Yes, and so was circumcision. And you look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 3, he's talking about circumcision and how that also was part of that which was to be considered a law that was to be ended. Christ came to fulfill that law. He fulfilled it. It had its purpose, and it served its purpose to bring us to Christ. Read the whole chapter of Galatians chapter 3, and that'll make sense to you. But in the meantime, go ahead and write this verse down and read it. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that were against us, which were contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Therefore, let no man judge you in food or drink or regarding festivals or new moons or Sabbath, which are a shadow of the things to come. But the substance, the real thing, is Christ. The substance is of Christ. And so that's who we're to follow today. Also, Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, and so, many other verses. And so there's a lot that shows that we're not supposed to go to that law to justify ourselves, and tithing was part of the old law. It is not to be enforced today. Today, we're supposed to give bountifully. So, if we're supposed to give bountifully, would that be just 10%? Well, see, every heart has to determine that. But if I was a Jew on the day of Pentecost, and yesterday as a Jew, I had to give 10%, and today the new law under Christ tells me to give bountifully, what would I do? Better sacrifice? Don't have to travel to Jerusalem 3 times a year? Well, see, it would probably be much more than 10%. So, my friend, don't you worry about that 10%. It's a matter of giving bountifully, and if people that, when people love the Lord, they will want to give. And when people love the lost, they will do everything within their power to share the resources so that the lost can learn the truth. By the way,
Guess who pays for this radio program? Yeah, it is people that love the Lord, that do not practice tithing, that are just trying to make certain that you, as well as anyone else that may be seeking after him, can learn the truth. Thanks for your question very much. We sure do appreciate it. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. It's time for us to take a break, but we do want you to know while we're at break, you can call in your question and continue to do so, or you can text us at 725-9283. Either way, we will be glad to have your question. We'll go to the Bible for the answer, and God's Word will be the final say. Thank you so much for listening, and continue to be with us. Here's information about the correspondence course, so go ahead and call in your question right now, 308-9564. We'll be right back. By the way, that's Bible correspondence course is free, and we are more than happy to send it to you. We only have 30 minutes left for a live operator to be standing by, so go ahead and call in your questions here, but go ahead and enroll in the course there, and that is 553-5157. To get that comprehensive course free of charge sent to you in tomorrow's mail, go ahead and call 553-5157. You will learn things in that course that you may never have seen before. Just about every person that we go see that has finished the course, they say, quote, I have learned more in the taking of this course than I have learned in 20 years in church. Can you believe that? Short little course. There are some things that are hidden in the eyes of a lot of, quote, church members, a lot of religious folks. And don't you think it's important to be able to find out what those things are before we reach the judgment day and we stand before him who gave us his word? I agree. So go ahead and call 553-5157. See for yourselves what may have been hidden from you all these years. 553-5157. And we'll send that Bible correspondence course to you free of charge, even in tomorrow's mail. So we'll never ask for a handout in any way. So go ahead and take advantage of this. Now we have one line available on the voice line, which is 553. I've got that wrong number. That other number in my mind. 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. Or you can text us at 725-9283. Go ahead and call in your question right now. Nick, do you have one?
Yes, we have a call calling in or texting in. The last three digits is 746. We do appreciate that. It says, does the Bible say that 666 is the mark of the beast? If the Bible doesn't, then could a tattoo that someone have be the mark of the beast? We sure appreciate, again, you taking the time out to text us. And for those of you who've been calling in, please keep the questions coming. We do appreciate it. Continue to call. And we hope that you're able to go and look at the scriptures with us. When we think about this idea of mark of the beast, that comes out of the book of Revelation. And again, as I always make mention, the book of Revelation is written in code. You need only but look in Revelation chapter 1, and you read that, and it talks about lampstands. It says lampstands, and it talks about stars. And then it gives the meaning of the stars or the lampstands. And that lets us know that this is a book that's written in code, and only God can decode it. Concerning this idea of the mark of the beast, honestly, we're not told what that is. There are passages that use that phrase, mark of the beast, Revelation 14, verse 11, chapter 16, verse 2, and then verses 19 and 20. 14, 11 says mark of his name. So it's chapter 16, Revelation 16, verse 2, and then chapter 19 and verse 20 use the phrase mark of the beast. When it talks about 666, though, the Bible seems to say something different. It could possibly mean this, but again, at the end of the day, we don't know. In Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, I just encourage you to pay close attention to what we read here. And you can read it in your translation. You'll see that it says just about the same thing. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18. And I'll start in verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. If I understand this text correctly, in verse 18, it's saying that this 666 is the number of a man. But is the number 666 the mark of the beast? Or is 666, much like all the other numbers in the book of Revelation, a code for something else, like the number 7? We all know that number 7, I think we know that number 7 means complete. And the 666 would be, or would carry with it the idea of incomplete. And so again, we'll find ourselves doing that kind of rationale, trying to determine what he means by these numbers. And at the end of the day, we don't know. Not 100% we don't know. And so I encourage you to continue to study. As far as a tattoo being the mark of the beast, there's nothing in the scripture that says that is the case as well. We do appreciate you calling in or texting your question. 308-9564.
We have a caller calling in this question. They want to know, can pastors kick people out of the church? Well, that concept of kicking out of the church or executing power over someone else, the first thing that came to mind was 3 John verses 9 through 11, which says, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loved to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, plotting against us with malicious words, and not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God. He who does evil has not seen God. Now, that phrase, putting out of the church, is that's the only place I see that that is done. And that was not a true lover of God, but a lover of themselves. And I think we got a question coming up about that as well. But again, we see it's amazing to me. Those of you that are listening today, why are there churches that will put up with leadership, if there is such a thing, if you want to call it that, that obviously are not doing godly, but actually doing things that are against God, that would be classified as evil, even by a worldly person, that would be classified as evil, even breaking the law, and yet they can get away with it for some reason, and they will have a following of people, and so that is just not right. Now, here's if you want to know how something that they may be trying to follow is Matthew chapter 18 verses 15. Through 18, where Jesus brings out that if someone sins against a brother, then the individual is supposed to go to them one-on-one, and if they repent, you've gained a brother. If they do not repent, take with you two or three, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word will be established. And if they repent, great. If they do not, bring it before the church is supposed to try and get that person to repent. If they do not repent, then they are to be as a heathen and a publican. That is Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 18. Matthew 18, 15 through 18. Then there was a immoral man that was told to be withdrawn from in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And they were to put away the leaven, lest the whole lump be infiltrated with their evil practices and their bad attitudes addressed there in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Then there was the man that would not work and walking disorderly in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 10 through 11, 12, 13 there, where they would not work with their hands. And thus, verse 13, I believe it is where it says, if a man will not work, neither should he eat. Okay, so we can see that there are several situations that may occur, but a pastor kicking somebody out of the church? Well, the closest thing I can see to that is in the Diotrephes in 3 John
verses 9 through 11. Hopefully that's been helpful to you. We're glad to be able to give you more information on that if you wish. Make certain that you enroll in the correspondence course. You'll be able to see what God says about how His church is supposed to be set up to begin with. And to get that correspondence course, call 553-5157.
We have Chester calling in with a follow-up question. I think the follow-up question was to concerning how do you know whether or not you're an apostle. We looked at some of the criteria that was revealed in the scriptures. Acts chapter 1 shows, I believe it's verse 21, talks about when they were replacing Judas, and thus in order to replace the apostle, there were certain criteria that that replacement had to meet. One, it was the person was going to be a male, and then two, they had to have been with Jesus from the time of Jesus' baptism to the time of his ascension, and thus these folks were eyewitnesses, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, of Christ. They had to be an eyewitness. That was going to be their job. And so Chester draws a conclusion based upon those characteristics. He says, are there apostles today? Because a lot of people are called apostles. Well, the only way a person can be an apostle today would be to meet that criteria. And there is no one that I know of today that's able to meet that criteria. We have to keep in mind that the apostles had a specific mission. Keep in mind that there was no Bible during the time that the apostles were on the earth. In fact, they were coming to proclaim the message of God, and they had received that message by way of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 3, Paul says, these things were not made known in other ages, which now are made known, verse 5, to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. And so God revealed these things to the apostles and the prophets in that first century so that they could communicate the message. But now what Paul did with that, if you read back up in that text around verse 3 and 4, you'll see that he wrote it down so that when we read, we might have an understanding of the things that he wrote concerning the mystery. No longer a mystery, but he wrote it down by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he and the other apostles. Now we have the Word of God. If someone today is claiming to be an apostle, are they going to be able to bring about new revelation? No, because we have it all, according to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. We have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so there is no new revelation. There were those who were, in fact, witnesses, eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ, and they did testify. And we have that record recorded in the scriptures. And so those who would profess to be apostles today, they cannot hold up to a biblical test. That is to say, we go to the scriptures and let the Bible bear it out, and you'll see that they'll fall far short. The Bible says test the spirit to see if they are of God. Chester, I hope that's been helpful to you. If you join us right now, go ahead and call 308-9564.
We have Tim calling in this question. It says, can a pastor get credit in a member's name? He did stop making payments and is dodging the member. Is this okay? You know, questions when they come through like this, I just don't want to. I just shake my head in shame. And it's just I don't know the right word to use here. Well, let me give you the verses. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, shows us that we're supposed to keep the laws of the land. We are supposed to submit to the powers that be. That is absolutely against the law to get credit in another person's name. That is just absolutely breaking the law. Why would they even want to do that? Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7 says, moreover, a man must have a good, that is a pastor, a bishop, overseer, is to have a good testimony among those who are on the outside. And so if he does not have good credit, then he does not have a good testimony among those who are outside, that is, those of the world. And so why on earth would that he even be considered as a pastor or overseer or someone that is looking over or shepherding over sheep? He certainly shouldn't be considered that in any form or fashion. He doesn't have a good credit rating or testimony among the world, and therefore the members shouldn't give him that testimony either or that credit at all. And actually what he is asked to do there is against the law. Romans chapter 13 makes that very clear. You know, it's many people don't know how in touch with the government, I mean, how in touch the government is with what's going on in churches today. Did you know that it is against the law for someone to reach in the collection plate and put in a 20 and then get a 10 out because they only want to give $10? That is against the law. Because that's done every day, and many times people will put in a check and then get the cash out, and in essence cash the check, get the cash, and then the check bounces. There are so many abuses and so many things, schemes that man has come up with, and just because they are going on does not make them right. Just because the federal government is slow about dealing with some of these abuses does not make it right. So, Tim, I would not only just say be leery of such an individual, that I would run, not walk, away from their influence quickly as possible. That is just absolutely evil and ungodly what is going on. So God would have us to show ourselves approved not only to God, but also to those of the world as well. And even the world would condemn that. Thank you so much for your question very much. It's time for us to take our last break. My friends, this is your last opportunity to enroll in the correspondence course. Go ahead and enjoy the benefit of learning what God has to say concerning what is right, concerning some of the things that this religious world maybe has pulled the wool over our eyes. Let's find out what God says before we meet him face to face. Go ahead and enroll in this course. The number, 553-5157, is the number to enroll in the course. If you already have the course, go ahead and call in your question. We're on the last segment of answering questions, and we can deal with it. Go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Go ahead and take advantage of the correspondence course that's available to you, 553-5157, 553-5157. This is, in fact, our last segment. So we encourage you absolutely to take advantage of that correspondence course as well as the website that's available to you, resources out there that can be helpful to you in your study. That website is www.biblealone.com. You still have a few minutes. Go ahead and get your questions in. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. Or you can send us a text question. That text number is 725-9283. Kashanda calls today, and she says, what does the Bible say about divorce? Kashanda, the Bible says a lot about divorce, and specifically that in the New Testament, when we're talking about when Jesus was on this earth, he was actually legislating or giving law concerning marriage and divorce and even that of remarriage. And so what I thought I would do is just give you a list of passages that you could go and read for yourself to get a picture of what he was saying. Because most often on this broadcast, we do not cover all the passages that's revealed in the New Testament concerning this. And so I encourage you to look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. That's Matthew chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. Matthew chapter 19 as well, verses 3 through 9. Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9. Consider also Mark's account in Mark chapter 10. Verses 10 through 12. Mark chapter 10, verse 2 through 12. And then Luke chapter 16 and verse 18. And you might consider some of the surrounding passages there in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 18. And then finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 10 and 11. And there's still others I could give to help paint the picture concerning what the Bible says about divorce. But at least you get to see from the Gospels perspective, Matthew, Mark, Luke, here you have Jesus speaking on marriage and divorce. And at least you get to hear what he has to say. And again, that will help to paint the picture on what God is saying concerning divorce. Kashanda, we sure appreciate so much you calling in. There is a correction that I'd like to make. Earlier, someone texted a question about 666 and the mark of the beast. And the more I replay what I said in my mind, I gave the impression that that text, when it says that 666, it says that it is the number of a man. Indeed, it is saying that it is the number of man. But it is making reference to a mark that would be placed on their hands or their forehead and calling that, in fact, a mark or the number of the beast. And so what I said was incorrect. I guess the point I was trying to make, and I was talking about this over the break, was simply that when we look at anything in the book of Revelation, we have to recognize that it is written in code. And the only way to understand what it's saying is to, for God to decode it himself, much like what we see in Revelation chapter 1, where he decodes what the lampstands are and what the stars are. The stars that we read in Revelation chapter 1 is not making reference to stars. And the lampstand that we read in Revelation chapter 1 is not making reference to a lampstand. And thus the 666 is not making reference to the number 666. And as I understand it recently, and I'm going to do some research on this, but that actually may actually be a mistranslation. It may actually be supposed to say 667. And so there's a lot there that you need to dig into and not just take at, on face value. And that's our encouragement. You study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly, that is to say correctly, rightly dividing the word of truth. Join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Again, we do have a text line, so you can quickly get a text question in. That text number is 725-9283, 725-9283. And we do have the Bible website, the website Bible Alone, that's available to you, www.biblealone.com. You can go, and there are resources. And also Kashanda, there are information on marriage and divorce on that website. So you can go and you can download that as well. And again, that website is www.biblealone.com. So you can also listen to previously recorded broadcasts that may be an aid or a help to you. So call in your questions right now, 308-9564, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak.
We are looking forward for your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. It's been a wonderful day today so far. We've had a number of you enroll in Bible correspondence courses. We're glad for that, and we sure do appreciate it very much. And it is our joy to be able to share with you the wealth of God's Word through the correspondence course. Please know that if you would like to receive this course, go ahead and call in right now at 553-5157, and we will get this course in the mail to you even tomorrow. So don't miss out on this opportunity. We want you to know after the radio broadcast, that same number reverts back to Dial a Bible Study, where you can listen to a message every day. Let's say you're stuck in traffic or you've got a few moments at your desk. You can call that number every day for a different message from God's Word and thus be able to have a quick edifying moment during the busy day or during the hectic day that you might have. And you can share that every time we send you something in the mail. We send you some cards to give out to your friends and family. And we're glad that you would participate in that. That is the best way to spread the word, and we're glad that you participate in that. Those of y'all that have those cards, don't let them collect dust. Give them to your family and friends so they, too, can be enriched from the study of God's word and listening to what God says in his word. That number is 553-5157. There's an operator standing by right now, and we'll be glad to send that to you, that course to you, free of charge. There is no reason why that we should ever be ignorant of what God says in his word, and thus that's why that we are glad to send this to you free of charge. I believe we have a quick question that we can answer before the end of the broadcast, and so Nick, go ahead.
Yes, a caller calls in asking, and this question was asked earlier, about getting a divorce. Is getting a divorce okay in the eyesight of God? And again, the passage is Malachi chapter 2 shows us that God, the Lord God, hates divorce, Malachi chapter 2 and verse 16. And then Matthew chapter 19, we find a provision. You just read verses 1 through 9 that if your spouse has committed sexual immorality, then you can put your spouse away for sexual immorality. And so those are, you know, that is the only ground, legal grounds from God's perspective for divorce if your spouse has committed sexual immorality, that is to say, gone outside the boundaries of the marriage.
Yes, and it's unfortunately a day and a time when families are falling apart right and left, and that is such a shame, especially when God likens marriage to a taste of heaven.
And when a family is built by God's design, it truly is a taste of heaven. And so, unfortunately, there's not very many examples of that around today. But I am so glad that I can be part of one like that. We know that you are seeking after the true happiness that can only come from God and the joy and fulfillment that only God can give. It won't come through seeking after things or physical money or position. It'll only come by yielding to our Creator's touch. We've got to obediently love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And involved in that is being content with the things that we have. And what we, in order to be able to obey Him that way, to love Him that way, what we have to do is to not rely upon what the preacher says or church doctrines or even our feelings. What we must do, if we're going to love Him that way, we must go to the Word of God. We must let the Bible speak.